Turn, if you would, this morning to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, and we'll kind of use this as an introduction to what most of our lesson is going to be about today. But Matthew chapter 15, we'll read the first 20 verses. It says, "Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' And he answered and said to them, 'Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, "Honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, "Whatever I have that would help you has been given to God," he is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.'" After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And Jesus said, "Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." In this story about the life of Jesus, we see that the Pharisees were worried about what went into the mouth, unclean. But Jesus instead was worried about what came out of the mouth, unclean. In verse 11, he sums it up and says, "It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man." Now I'd like for us to turn over to the book of James, which is where we're going to spend the entirety of the rest of our time this morning. We studied James may have been a year ago or so now in the class upstairs. It's been a good long time ago, but these thoughts kind of became apparent to me as we were going through the book of James in our upstairs class, that one of the main focuses of the book of James seems to be on communication. Communication between man and other men, and of course communication between man and God and God and man. And so we're just going to go down through the five chapters of James and find verses that deal with verbal communication. And there's quite a few, and I may have missed a few as well, but we're just going to go down through, beginning in chapter 1, we'll end up in chapter 5, all the way through the book of James, but we're going to notice the various different verses that deal in some way, shape, or form with communicating. So let's start in James chapter 1 and read verses 5 through 8. It says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." We see the word ask is used a couple of times there. Let's go down to verse 13 and read through verse 15. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Let no one say, James wrote. Chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And finally, in chapter 1, verse 26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. So we go into chapter 2. We'll read quite a bit of it, as this chapter has quite a bit to say on communicating. Let's begin by looking at the first 13 verses. It says, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law of transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as though who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Well, let's go ahead and continue then and read verses 14 through 20. For what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? We see in these readings several times that it talks about people saying something. One time it is mentioned that we should listen. Blaspheming is spoken of, and speaking, again, is spoken of. If we go down to James chapter 3 and read the first 10 verses, we read possibly the most famous part of the book of James dealing with things that we speak. It says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be this way. Famous, famous verses, of course, from the book of James, where the small body part of the tongue is likened to the rudder that guides the entire ship. It's likened to the bit in the mouth of the horse that guides, with which it, a man is able to break the horse, guide the horse, and make the horse go and do whatever the man desires. We see how important the tongue is. In these verses, we read about boasting, and we read about blessing and cursing with our tongues. Let's skip down now to chapter 4 and read the first four verses. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Here in this scripture, we read about quarrels and conflicts and fights. We see the word fight used. We see the word ask used. And in a kind of a separate manner, we see ask with wrong motives. Let's skip down and now look at verses 11 and 12 of chapter 4, where James writes, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor?" Talking about there, of course, speaking, but also judging, which sometimes we may verbally do as well. In verses 13 then through 16, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." Say, boast, boasting. And now we go into the final chapter of the book of James, chapter 5. Let's begin. We'll read really a whole series of verses, but kind of notice different words as we go down. Let's begin in verse 9. "Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door." Verse 10. "As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." Verse 12, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment." Verse 13, "Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises." Verses 14 and 15. "Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him." And finally, verses 16 through 18. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. We see in that series of verses in chapter 5 several different things. We see the word complain, use, spoke, swear, pray and sing, call and pray, confess to one another, and pray are all used in that series of verses at the near the end of chapter 5. I do find it a little bit interesting that a lot of the more negative things about communication do occur a little bit more at the beginning and in the middle of the book, and at the end of the book, there's a great deal of emphasis putting on praying, singing, confessing to one another, calling upon the elders. And the focus seems to be more on those positive things near the end of the book of James. The tongue is a fire verses are, of course, famous. But the entire book of James is about verbal communication and is a manual on what we should or should not talk about. It brings up issues like complaining. We read about that. Fighting, conflicts and quarrels, anger, blaspheming, boasting, swearing, cursing, and asking with wrong motives. And I think if we take a look at each one of those things individually, it's things that we all recognize that we can or do or have done in our lives with our mouths through our verbal communication with others. But James also encourages us to ask. Ask of God certain things. To confess our transgressions to one another. To sing. We are encouraged to do that in at least one location in the book of James. And of course, multiple places when we take, you know, ask and add it to the times that we are encouraged to pray in the book of James. And most and possibly most importantly, the book of James also tells us when maybe that it's better to remain silent and say nothing at all, which so oftentimes is difficult for us to do, but so oftentimes is the best thing for us to do as well. Hopefully this has given us something to think about this morning. Let us watch and think about the way we communicate with those in the world around about us. James talked about several different things there that deal with how we deal with other people in our lives, particularly a lot of those negative things, aren't they? Whenever, you know, fighting, quarreling, complaining, how often we think that we do that. Anger is brought up in at least a couple of different instances. Boasting of ourselves to other people, and cursing and swearing oaths with others. However, we are also encouraged, in the book of James, it's especially also about the way, not that we just communicate with others in the world around about us, but the way that we ourselves communicate with the Lord. Blaspheming was mentioned in there. That's a negative way that we may have things to say about God or about what we think of God. But then, of course, remember all of those positive things that we read about as well. Asking of God, praying to God, and singing praises to God with our hearts. Let's think about these things this morning. If there's anything that we can do to help anyone come to a better relationship with God or be saved and be added to the church, please let us know of those ways that we could help you. Come forward as we stand and as we sing.